Welcome to Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.
Q is about conversation.
If we're really concerned about ending poverty, we've got to be more concerned about creating justice.
Our cultural products as Christians need to both defy and resonate with the culture.
And God's doing amazing things. His church is expanding. His church is growing.
It's not what's the purpose of my life. It's what is the purpose that's been assigned.
Stay curious. Think well. Advance good. This is Q.
Welcome to another edition of the Q Podcast. I'm Gabe Lyons, and today you're going to hear a talk from just one of my all-time favorites, somebody who has spoken at Q now three times, which is kind of a record. We don't have a lot of our presenters come back and repeat, but Kevin Kelly, who's the senior maverick at Wired Magazine, also the author of several great books on technology, is going to be with us and is going to be sharing with you about a topic that I know is very present on your mind. It's present on everybody's mind, and it's this idea of technology. What does technology want is what this talk is named, and it's because Kevin's going to get into helping us think about the dynamics of technology and what is some of the good that comes from technology. Does it really have a bias, or is it neutral? How is it affecting us? And Kevin is somebody who not only has lived a life where he has to think about technology all the time. He has an incredible website. It's very popular, called Cool Tools, where he actually reviews daily tools and every new innovation coming out in technology. He's been doing that since 2003. Yet I remember being in Kevin's house one day out in Northern California. We were having a conversation. I was looking around at his bookshelves and just wondering, how does this tech guru live his life? I mean, are we going to walk into a space or a home that's just the lights come on as you walk in and all these crazy digital tools are happening all around you and robots? And sure enough, sitting down in the room was a robot, but not the kind of robot you would expect. It was a styrofoam robot. It was a robot that was about 14 foot tall. And I said, no, tell me about this robot. And he said, well, my daughter and I have decided that we're going to build this robot together. So every time we get a shipment that comes in that has styrofoam in it, we take the styrofoam and we start building and we keep adding to this robot. And now it's, you know, almost 14 feet tall, I think. And we're continuing to develop. It's almost like a little art project that they've been working on for a couple of years. He also told me about how he rides a bike all the time. Like, that's his main source of transportation, and how when he travels a lot, he doesn't actually take a cell phone with him. He travels in a way that doesn't utilize all the technology that he's so aware of. And it reminded me that somebody so educated on technology has such a thoughtfulness about how he manages it in his own life. And so as part of Q, this has been a theme from the very beginning for us. We've understood for over the 11 years that Q's been happening that technology and innovation and its intersection with humanity is growing closer and closer. And it's going to take a thoughtfulness. It's going to take a way of stepping back from it to understand, how is it impacting us? How's it impacting our humanity? How's it impacting our relationships, how we see one another, how we connect? You know, October is a month where there's a lot of buzz about what's happening in the phone world. You know, we always annually hear about the latest innovations coming out of Apple. It sort of takes over the news cycle for 24 hours. And then tons of conversations on the side about, are you getting the new iPhone? Are you getting the iPhone 8? Are you getting the 10? And what about facial recognition? And what about all of the new things happening with technology? And we thought it was important for our listeners, in a moment like that, to hear a timeless talk by Kevin Kelly that just reminds us about a way we can frame our thinking on technology. Now, you can watch this online at qideas.org. I would encourage you to do that, and I would encourage you to share it with your friends and let this be a catalyst for real conversations around how you're going to think about managing technology and having conversations about technology with those you love. Let's listen in now to Kevin Kelly.
I wanted to take some moments this morning to talk about something that I think is really, really big. There's lots of books written about the relationship between God and nature, and how nature, in some ways, we can, at its best, feel is a reflection of the divine. But we are surrounded by other things, this building, this city. And my question is, in technology, where's God? What's the relationship of God and technology? Is technology just another aspect of the fall? Is it something good? Is it positive? Is it just neutral? It is something that surrounds us in many, many ways. And the problem is, of course, we don't really have a good definition of technology. This is what most people think technology is, right? It's stuff that doesn't work yet. But obviously, it has to be more than that. This chair I'm sitting on, the concrete here and the roads, the electricity, all that stuff is technology, too. Meant it long before you were born. And if you take these two artifacts about the same size, the one on the left is a stone hammer, thousands of years old. One person can make that. You here, probably with a little effort, could make this thing. The one on the right, though, is one that nobody here could make. In fact, all of us here, as smart as you all are, could not make this thing. And that's because it relies on hundreds of other technologies for each of the technologies that's embedded in it. So in some ways, it's kind of like a network of technologies. It's thousands of technologies that are kind of codependent and almost like an ecosystem of technologies. And I'm interested in that ecosystem. I'm interested in the way in which this web of technologies supports each other and are codependent on it. So we have this very, very large system of things that we've made. And I call it the technium to indicate the fact that it is, in some ways, a web of technologies. It's not one thing, and they don't stand alone. They, in fact, require each other. That system, like any kind of a system, has certain biases, certain agendas, certain tendencies. And I use the word want provocatively to suggest that technology as a system, as a whole, not your spoon, not your iPad, but the whole thing that we've made, in some ways, has certain biases. And this is a picture of a robot, the Willow Garage robot, and it's a robot that's been programmed to find its own power. So it runs around the offices in looking for power sources, and it is smart enough to actually recognize it and take this tail, which is a cord, and plug itself in to recharge its batteries. And I had the opportunity to stand between it and a plug. I could feel it. It really wanted that electricity. It wasn't going to harm me, but it was going to find a way to recharge its batteries. And I use the word want in that sense of maybe the way that plants want light. They're not conscious and they're not intelligent, but they are leaning in that direction. They're doing things to, they're an agent to get light. And the system that we've made of all this stuff in our world actually has biases. It has wants. It has leanings. It's attempting something. When we make these very complicated things, they have a bias. My question is, what's the bias? So technology has its own agenda. That's the bad news in some sense. The thing that we've made has something of itself, some level of autonomy. The good news, which is I hope to get to very, very quickly, just to bring you to the end of the story, is that actually this has a moral dimension, and it's a positive moral dimension. So what does technology want? Well, the most amazing discovery happened about 50 years ago. And that was a discovery that, in fact, the essence of life, the living things that we could see around us, was not carbon, was not water, was not energy, was, in fact, information. The discovery of DNA, the code of DNA, the understanding of that's a genetic code, it's like a programming code, that we could program things, that we could manipulate and make and change life through the information, that was a huge insight. And what is technology but itself? A rearrangement of information. Information flows to technology. We take atoms, we use information to rearrange them into new forms and shapes. And so basically the essence of technology is also information. So there is an equivalency that's not quite equivalent, but there's a similarity or correspondence between information and life. And what we now know is that we can think about lots of things in technologies as basically an extension of life. So I say what technology wants turns out to be very similar to what life as a system, the living organisms, the meadows, the rainforests, the species as they interact with each other, form a system that has many, many, many parallels with the system of technology, not the individual components, but the entire system that we've made. So one of the things that life wants is it wants to become more specialized. Things start off general. You have a general cell. And over time, they become specialized. So we have, in our own bodies, we have 250 different cell types, muscle cells, skeletal cells, all these things, whereas some of the primitive organisms have only one type of a cell. We see the same thing in technology. Things start off general, like the general hammer. We have specialized hammers. First, we'll have a general camera that does everything. Then we'll have underwater cameras, high-speed cameras, infrared cameras. Then we'll have an infrared underwater high-speed camera. We keep specializing. And we can see where technology is going by saying, whatever it is that we have today, in the future, we'll have a more specialized version of it. That's the general trend.
We have more from Kevin Kelly on our rapidly changing technology and what it wants in just a few moments here on Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons. We just want to pause here a few moments, though, to invite you this coming week to a special event called Q Commons. It's coming up on Thursday night. Now, the theme will be around healing our divided nation and our divided communities. And Gabe, there are many things in our culture that are dividing us, technology included, but that's where the church could really step in.
We need to proactively be a part of helping heal divides in our communities, and sometimes technology is part of what divides us. And so in our culture today, when many of us are feeling the divide, we don't know what to do, and Q is creating an opportunity in many of the cities that you live in on October 26th to come together with other like-minded Christians who care about being a part of the solution, who care about healing our divided nation. That's the theme of the night. Q Commons is an amazing event that's taking place in over 150 locations simultaneously on one night. Over 25,000 believers come together, people that are, some are parts of churches, some are government employees, some are teachers in your community. Many are working as entrepreneurs, business leaders in their community. Many are just mothers and fathers who are concerned about where this culture is going and how we as Christians ought to be leading, how we ought to be a part of the solution. We can't just bury our head in the sand. We have to be the ones that look up, that understand the times, and that know what to do. And so go to qcommons.com and see if there's a location near you. I know we have them in this listening audience in Minneapolis. There's also one in Madison, Wisconsin. But wherever you're at, see if there's one near you. And if there's not, there's still an opportunity for your church to host. And so on that particular night, your church can host Q Commons. We deliver it via private simulcast. We stream this to you. You'll hear David Brooks, New York Times op-ed columnist, but most importantly, the author of a book called The Road to Character. He's going to talk about how virtue is essential for us as Americans to know how to lead better in our communities. We're also going to have Dr. Kara Powell talking about how to confront our technology addiction. We're going to better understand how technology is dividing us and how we can overcome that through human relationship and human contact. Third, propaganda. He's a spoken word artist, an amazing prophetic voice. It's going to be a night dedicated to you as a Christian, being thoughtful, being curious, understanding, but more importantly, connecting with those around you who care about the Christian's role in renewing culture, in being a light in the midst of the darkness. And so please go to qcommons.com, find your city. If you can't find your city, host in your church. Push that button, host in your church, give us your information. Let us get in touch with you about how you can be the one that helps bring this conversation to your city at such an important moment.
Thanks, Gabe. And may I add that at qcommons.com, there is also a button if you want to host the event in your home with a few friends you think would enjoy being part of this event and the conversation. Again, visit qcommons.com. Let's get back to our message about what our technology wants with Kevin Kelly on Q Ideas.
We can make a list of these other trends in technology, and the trends are generally towards more complexity, more diversity, increasing diversities of things, increasing specializations. Whatever we have now will become more specialized in the future. Mutualism, meaning in the same way that we see the same thing in life where things begin alone and then over time they begin to become more engaged with each other. They become more social. Ants become more social. We're doing the same thing with our technology. We're making it more and more social, more and more codependent upon other technologies. We see ubiquity, things becoming more and more common. That's when the change happens. If you want to know what's going to happen with technology, ask yourself, what happens when everybody has it? That's when it flips over. We see sentience. We're putting more and more chips into the things that we make so that they are becoming little tiny, as smart as ants. Turns out that ants is often all that you need to have technology. If it can be as smart as ants, it's actually pretty smart. And we see the evolvability. We see the sense that the system itself can keep changing. We make technology, and the more technology we make, the more easy it is to change it, to make it into something else. So we're actually changing the changeability of the technological system. And exotropy is a word that means that we're actually increasing the order. We're using technology to increase the order of things. While most of the world is running down, while most of the physics, our things break. At the same time, there's a little pocket where we can increase the order. That's what technology is doing, is increasing the order in little pockets. So that's the agenda of technology. If we want to look about where technology is going in the long term, it's going in those directions. That's the general drift. But the important thing is that that actually turns out that there is a progression in technology. It's just not just random. This is not just random things, one thing after another. There actually are laws in technology. And we can see one of these in Moore's Law, which is this idea that the computers are getting faster and cheaper every year. If you map that out, it's almost a straight line. It's like there's unwavering. No matter what we do, there is a built-in ordained becoming in technology. It's going through certain phases. It means that there's lots of technologies in the larger frame that are inevitable. It was inevitable that we have this kind of planetary network of computers. There's almost no way around it. It's inevitable that we have a light bulb. I did a study of all the discoveries, and we could see in every single case that simultaneous independent invention is the norm, not the exception. There were 23 other incandescent light bulbs invented before Edison, all independently. They were working. Any invention you can imagine, there are people who have made it before at the same time independently. That is the norm. That means that when it's time, the next available invention is time and all the precursor inventions are made, that's going to happen. That means that there is a progression in the sequence of technologies. So they are certainly inevitable. The web was inevitable, but not what kind of web. We have a choice about the character of these things, and that makes a huge difference. Is it open or closed? What's the default? Is it international or national? Is it commercial or nonprofit? Is it decentralized or centralized? Those choices are very real for us and make a huge difference in the kind of technology that we have. So the web was inevitable, but not what kind of web. So the solution of this is that every new technology that we make will generate as many new problems as solutions. Okay? Most of the problems that we're dealing with today were invented by technologies of the past. Most of the problems are going to be in the future are by technologies that were invented now. Okay? So we have new solutions, we get new problems. And now at first, people would say, well, that's just kind of neutral. That means that the world is neutral. The technology is neutral. But actually, it's not. The calculation goes further than that. And that is that what we get with the technology is we get a new choice or option that we did not have before. When we invented the hammer we could use to kill someone or we could use it to build a house, that choice of whether to kill someone or to build a house was invented by the hammer. So we now have a new choice. And I say that that choice itself is a positive good. That's free will. We've been given that choice. We now have new choices that we did not have before. That choice itself is a good will. That tips the balance slightly in the favor of the good, because now, even though we have the choice to use it for bad, for ill, for harm, for evil, we have that choice. That is what I call the 1%, because if we're using technology to create 1% more than we're using it to destroy every year, that 1% compounded over years is actually a positive good. And that's what we call civilization. That's what civilization is. The reason why we have a city here is that overall, we've created 1% more than we destroyed every year. That's why the city exists. So if we have a bad idea, if technologies can be harmful or for ill, then what do we do about that? Well, if we have a bad idea, the response, you would not ask, if I gave you a bad idea, like maybe you think this is right now a bad idea, if I give you a bad idea, your response to me is not going to be stop thinking, think less. The proper response to a bad idea is a better idea. Technology is basically an idea made concrete, an idea made real. So the proper response to bad technology is not less technology. It's not no technology. It's not to retreat from technology. It's better technology. That's the proper response. And so in every case, when we confront things where technology is causing harm, doing ill, the response is not less, less, less. The response should be more, better. How can we make this better? Let's get a better idea, a better technology. There's no technology that we've come across so far that we cannot make it greener. This is one of the, just to give an example, there's been no technology that we've invented that we can't weaponize. Okay? We can take any technology, we can make it weapon, we can make it evil. But at the same time, there's no technology that we invented that we could not sort of peacify it or make it greener. So we know that in a certain sense, there's no antipathy between technology and the life, that we can actually make these integrate. Because, as I said before, that the dynamics of technology are the same dynamics as life. So technology gives us this idea of betterment. And as our jobs as humans, I think, are very much a reflection of God. We are made in the image of God. God is the creator. We are creators. We are now creating things like our children. These are things that we have created from us in the way that God has made us. We're reflecting that. And every technology is sort of a creative force looking for a good job. And part of our job as parents of these technologies is to find the right place for them. DDT sprayed on crops in millions of pounds was an environmental disaster. You take the same chemical and you use it to spray around households in the subtropics. It's the best, most effective eliminator of malaria that we know. It's saving millions of years. It's the same thing, different job, same chemical, DDT. So there are no really bad technologies. There are only bad jobs for them. And we're trying to find out the right place for technology. So what technology wants is really this list of things. It wants increasing choices. It gives us diversity, options, possibilities, degrees of freedom. And the reason why this is important, because everybody here has a different set of genes, you have a different set of abilities, you have different God-given gifts of the spirit and of the world. And we use technologies to express those. We use them actually to in some ways, make the best of our gifts. Imagine Mozart, he needed the symphony, the piano, the harpsichord, to find his genius, to use his genius of music. But imagine if Mozart had been born 1,000 years before the piano or the symphony had been invented. What a loss to us and to him that would have been. Okay? Or if Van Gogh had been born 1,000 years before we invented a cheap oil paint and canvas. What a loss to him and to us that would have been. Or take your favorite cinematographer. If Hitchcock had been born before we invented the technologies of cinema. What a loss. That means that today, somewhere in the world, there's a boy or girl born whose technology we have not yet invented, whose means of expression we have not yet brought into the world. And so therefore, I believe we have a moral obligation to find these different technologies, different aids, different tools to help everybody at least have the potential to find and use the special set of talents that God has given them. And that includes, of course, clean water and education, the old technologies as well. And so the reason, and when we do that, what I want to emphasize is when we find these technologies and we bring them to everybody in the world and help them find those things that can best use their particular gifts, what we're doing is we're participating in something that's actually much bigger than ourselves. Because what I'm trying to indicate is that the origins of technology, the roots of technology, begin long before us. Okay? They're rooted in the fact of the general chemistry and physics of the world, of the universe. There's a sequence that's inevitable, that's beyond just our own choice. That in a certain sense, what technology is doing is what is a reflection of the divine in the same way that it is of nature. That from Genesis outward, there is this increasing order. That there's increasing complexity, diversity. The same things that we see in technology are actually extending the very same things that are happening in the rest of the universe from the cosmic sense onward down to life. And that we see this increasing organization that we see in life happening all the time on a daily basis. And that the technium, the technology, is actually the same extension of that. That it's extended through us, but it's not just part of us. It's actually part of something bigger. And so in the same way that we would look at some beautiful forest, a cathedral, and say that's, we could see in some sense a reflection of God's greatness in that. In the same way, I think that we're going to understand the same arc of increasing order in the world is in some ways an explosion of possibilities, of choices. That's what's happening. And that we can see these differences, options, and opportunities is what we get from the technology, why it's just not neutral, why it's actually a positive force, a reflection of the divine. So we can look at, I think in the future we may look at some of the great technology of the world, the web and stuff, and say, in some senses, that this is also, because it's bringing us choices, possibilities, freedoms, that it's giving us the burden of making those choices at the same time, we need to educate ourselves with values and to have godly choices. But nonetheless, these choices are what we get with technology. And we'll see that technology is in some ways also a reflection of the divine. So I want to thank you for your attention, and I really appreciate being here.
Well, you know, a podcast has some limitations. Like, you're not able to actually see some of the slides that I know Kevin was referencing. And so go online to qideas.org and actually on our homepage this week, and then you can access it in the future if you're listening to this at a later date. Search Kevin Kelly and look at this talk and watch it and see his slides. And in fact, look at the other two talks that Kevin Kelly has delivered at our Q conferences, because he's always challenging us to think about technology in a new way and to look towards the future. He's a futurist. And because of that, he's always thinking about what are the effects? How do we think about 30 years from now, 50 years from now, 1,000 years from now? And I think you'll just enjoy hearing his thinking and being challenged about what kind of long-term view are you taking about the kinds of things you're creating and that you're involved with. So thank you again for listening. I hope you have a wonderful week as you go out and stay curious, think well, and advance good. This show is made possible in partnership with Faith Radio and Northwestern Media.
Thank you for listening to the Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make your gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or on your podcast player. And thank you for sharing this audio link with a friend and growing the impact of Q Ideas with Gabe Lyons.